Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
So a fellow named Dwayne Eddy passed away this last week, and this is a little bit of his stuff. He was known for that style of guitar playing, had a long career. He did the lead into Peter Gunn, and just extremely well known. Moved from Corning, New York in the 40s or 50s out to Phoenix. This is kind of Arizona desert twang. He actually got inside of a big tank. He would play and it would have that sort of echo sound to it. He died at age 86, just couple of days ago, earlier this week, in Franklin, Tennessee. So a lot of these guys ended up basically in Nashville. And, you know, he played as a session man in, looks like, Los Angeles. He was part of Phil Spector's wrecking crew. And his guitar playing affected lots of other guitarists, people like Mark Knopfler. Elvis Presley listened to his stuff. So, and he was a bigger deal in England than he was in the U.S., according to the things I'm reading here. Did album for Waylon Jennings, B.J. Thomas. He was in The Seekers. Henry Mancini's Peter Gunn, he was a part of that. Quite a guy. If you're not keeping your ear to the ground, these people pass away and you never know about it. That's why you have to kind of stay on top of what's happening. Psalm 22, King James Version. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Verse 5. Do you trust in God? I'm not asking if you believe in God. Do you trust in God? Or do you trust in your own abilities or in your money or in your job description or in your friends and family or somebody else to take care of you? Or do you trust in God? Let me tell you, I finally began to learn what it means to trust in God. And it was not an easy deal. In some ways, I would just as soon have not had to learn it. There's nothing pretty about it, but there is an assurance about it at the base level of it that there are things I simply cannot handle, which is a lot of things. Most of the stuff I can control is basically my own attitude. How I choose to approach things, how I choose to look at things, and my actions, what I do in response to different situations. So, I don't have the ability to do a lot of things that I would have a very strong opinion as to what the outcome should be. I'm full of opinions, short on power to affect outcomes. So that's where the trust thing has to work for me, or else I'm going to be in trouble. Now, I don't know if you have followed anything about the news. You know, it seems to me that a lot of people that I know simply are not engaged with our local government. And in the last few years, really since the George Floyd killing, there's been a big change just in local governments. It seems like what I would call the radicals have sort of taken over. And, people, if I wanted to run for something in Lexington right now, I don't think I'd stand a snowball's chance in hell. I'm white. I'm considered wealthy. There's no way that I think I would get elected to something. But we have a council member named Ms. Fogle. I don't know which district she represents, but one of the districts here in Lexington. And Ms. Fogle has had a kind of a history.
She's District 1.
Okay. I don't know. Where is District 1? Is that kind of right where we are right now, downtown Lexington? She may be our council member down here. So evidently there was an incident where she was at an AT&T store, and you can watch this. It's on YouTube. It's called Video Footage Release, case number 2024-043487.
You probably could just search it under her name.
I don't know. There's nothing about her name on this. Case number 2024-043487. I've watched several minutes of this. This is the body cam that she was being disruptive at an AT&T store. The policeman was called to come over there. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be talking about here is not the fact that she did this, but the fact that our media, our news media in this city are so lax at doing their job. So anyway, she was at the AT&T store. The policeman comes in. They're telling her to leave because she's been belligerent and escalating, and they're escalating. And they want her to leave. And the policeman says, you got to leave. And she says, are you going to take the councilwoman? So she refers to the fact that she's on the council. Then she takes a picture of the policeman and says, I got you on film. You're going to have to be looking for a new profession. So here's someone in a position of authority over a policeman threatening them with their job. Then, at another point, she said, I guess I'm the wrong skin color. Ms. Fogel is African-American, so now she's playing the race card. This is who the elected representative is. This is a person that's helping oversee a $500 million plus budget. And it's all on tape. You can see her behavior. And what's interesting is that it came before a judge in the last week or two. She was completely exonerated. And her attorney said, we knew that she was innocent. When you look at this footage, and you see what really happened. Now, it's not so much, I'm not angry about the fact that she got an attorney and defended herself and won. That's not the problem. It's number one, we have no prosecution, evidently, in this city. And number two, there is no news media. Now, let me tell you why. I'm not going to make this about Ms. Fogel because I think her actions speak for themselves. This is a person who, and I don't care about the race. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the actions representing the job that she's supposed to be doing for the Lexington Fayette Urban County government and causing a complete problem at an AT&T store and having to be removed by police and being completely uncooperative and unhelpful. This is a person that's involved in administering a $500 million budget. What do you care? As a taxpayer in the city of Lexington, I was at a Rotary Club meeting today. I had somebody come up to me and she says, oh, I just really like listening to your show. I just wish there were more people like you. And I'm thinking, well, I've paid a great deal of personal cost to talk like I do on the show. And I can't tell you how many folks have said they listen to the radio show and they kind of like my ideas and that's it. How many people say, you know what, I want to get involved. I want to take our city back because in so many ways it's gone. Now, there are a group of people in town whose job is to patrol and look at this, and that's the media, specifically the newspaper. And I'm going to say what I think the problem is and how it could be solved. Number one, you can't completely blame the newspaper here in this town because the way they have run the business, it's no longer a good business. They're not making money anymore. You could certainly argue that it has something to do with the fact that so many people get their news from online sources. They see no reason to subscribe to a newspaper. The young crowd does not even read newspapers anymore. That's certainly a big part of it. That the way information and news gets delivered has changed, and the newspaper industry really didn't change with it in the way that it should have. But there's another thing that they've done that I think is a more incriminating thing on their behalf, is that they have pursued a solid left-wing bias in just about everything. So what do you do if you're a business? You're automatically alienating half or maybe more than half of your potential readers. Now, in Lexington, it's probably not half, because this town is full of goofballs that typically vote Democrat. And there's a lot more of them here than there are in the average town. Lexington is a lot bluer in many ways than an average-sized town. Part of that is because the University of Kentucky is here, which is, that's a show in and of itself. But suffice it to say that the newspaper, because of some of their own mistakes, in my opinion, and because of things that are just happening in the business, doesn't seem to have what it needs to have to really go deep on these stories. And it doesn't even seem to have the will to do it. I think what needs to happen is there needs to be maybe a nonprofit created that is dedicated to news, something people could contribute to. Almost like an NPR for Lexington, but that it would not be biased. It would be straight down the line news reporting. You could sell ads on top of it, but that they would not immediately be responsible to shareholders. Now, in time, convert it to a for-profit if it were to do well. I think that Lexington is dying. There's a huge gap in terms of news reporting here. Lexington is dying to have something better than what it's got. And I believe it could be done. This is something I think about frequently. If you think that it's a good idea, let me know. You know, people don't let us know stuff like we would like, because sometimes it feels like we're just talking.
And you can do that by emailing tdupree@dupreefinancial.com.
Why did you give out my email address? You think I really want them to reply? I'm just saying it, Elizabeth. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
It's a joke. Yes.
If your jokes aren't funny.
If you are interested in, I believe that this thing needs to be better. I think we could start a nonprofit that's dedicated to news in Lexington, not be responsible for having to make a profit right away, but start a newspaper and get some ad revenue and get some things going. And then at some point, if it really turns into a business, it could become a business. Right. Or it could be started as a for-profit, but you just realize that it's not going to make any money for a while.
I've got a little tidbit footnote to the Ms. Fogel story. So in 2020, she was appointed by Mayor Linda Gordon to the Law Enforcement, Justice, and Accountability Subcommittee of the Mayor's Commission.
There you go.
For Racial Justice and Equality.
Good old.
So she is on the.
And it sounds like our mayor is on top of
Subcommittee for Law Enforcement.
Everything in terms of just hitting it out of the park. Our mayor really needs to go back to doing groundbreakings, photo ops she likes those groundbreakings. She likes ribbon cuttings for new parks and things. That's what she likes the most about the job. You can tell. Anything that involves something hard, like doing a budget or that kind of thing. Once again, if we had a functioning news media here, and somebody committed to digging into the incompetence and foolishness that goes on at City Hall, you know, we would at least be exposing this on a regular basis. I think something ought to be started. We've got to have better news coverage. Until as long as people just bumble along and drool out of the corners of their mouths and feel like everything's fine, nothing is going to change, because people are going to be under this illusion that everything's okay.
Well, it was kind of just a little bit that I read about it in the comments on social media. It really is surprising how tolerant people are of resisting law enforcement. It's
it's become okay, especially if you're African American and you play the race card, which is exactly what she was doing.
Well, the bottom line is there's got to be a structure of law.
There is.
Or things go awry. Well, but people are not buying into it like they did. So that's a problem when you're disruptive enough for the Lexington police to be called. That's a problem. And when you're asked to leave and you don't leave once you see law enforcement, that's a problem. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. We'll be back in just a minute with the second half of the hour. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. There are three different ways financial advisors can be compensated: commission, hourly, and percentage of the assets under management. Only the third option directly aligns the financial interest of the advisor with the financial interest of the client. At Dupree Financial Group, that's how we do it. When we get a raise, it's because your account has increased in value. If you would like to learn more about how we manage retirement assets at Dupree Financial Group, give us a call at 859-233-0400 or go to our website at dupreefinancial.com. Also, be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show at News Radio 630 WLAP or on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. Here's our host, Tom Dupree.
This is a group called Tangerine Dream. It's a German group. They were the pioneers of what would be called electronica, almost completely electronic music. They've been around for a long time, over 50 years. And why do I play this? It's not something I typically listen to, but I pulled up a movie that I hadn't seen in years the other day. The movie's called Sorcerer. It was a Billy Friedkin movie. And I was reading, I saw it when it came out at the Kentucky Theater. Ooh, it was freaky over there. This was probably 1980, 79. And, of course, Bill Friedkin did The Exorcist and a lot of other kind of very disturbing movies. But so the lineup in this movie, he had really tried to get some big-time stars. He wanted to get Steve McQueen as the lead. He tried to get Robert Mitchum. And he ended up with Roy Scheider, who had just been in Jaws. And then from there, he got a Spanish fella, Paco Rabal or Pablo Rabal, a French guy, Bruno somebody, can't think of his last name. And then he got a fella from North Africa who goes by Amadou, but that's not his real name. It's obviously something else. Had another guy who was an American. But I'm not going to give you away the story. It's a gripping movie that is really it's worth watching. But I mean, it's a little bit disturbing. And let's just say these four guys are escaping justice all over the world, and they end up at a little town in the backwoods in South America, and from there it takes shape. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, I know some of you guys that listen to this show probably are churchgoers, and you might study the Bible as well. And a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, maybe it's been four now, a very famous Bible teacher named Ravi Zacharias passed away. Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias had his own Bible teaching and missionary corporation. I mean, he sold lots of books. I'm sure he had tons of tapes and CDs and all kinds of ministry items that, you know, the organization was highly successful, and he was well respected in terms of his Bible teaching by many people, including atheists. Your headliner atheists like Hitchens, Dawkins, Sam Harris. I really don't care for that guy. I think he's a prick and a dick. my wife's head shot up. But the other guys, you know, they're just garden variety atheists. I mean, if you're going to be an atheist, you don't have to be a dick about it. I mean, just state your case. Anyway, the Ravi Zacharias was considered one of the preeminent Bible teachers, but the guy had a sex problem and he kept it quiet and did a lot of things, you know, with women. He owned, for some reason, here's this guy, you know, who's a Bible teacher guy who owns a bunch of massage parlors. Now, wait a minute. But anyway, he did. And I think he was often getting a little extra with his massages. Some people in the profession call it a happy ending. But it was, you know, he was the deal was going pretty far. And he was trying to keep everybody quiet. But it sounds like this guy had a huge problem. Now, why am I talking about this?
Yes, why are you talking about it?
Okay. I'm going to tell you why. Because I watched this video about his life, and a lot of times these videos are done by people who simply want to throw rocks and say, hey, Dad, don't you, this is why all Christians are full of you know what, and nobody can be trusted, that, you know, all of Christianity is based on lies and distortions and that whole thing. This actually was not that kind of a documentary. It talked about the fact that this doesn't give me, you, or anybody else the right to cancel somebody. So he did this, and now he or she is being canceled. Tell you who else is in danger of being canceled right now. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, because she shared in her book that she had a dog that she had to put down because it was attacking people's chickens and things like that. Well, the Bleeding Hearts have now labeled her as a animal abuser and that sort of thing. I don't think it was real smart of her to put it in a book about shooting the dog, knowing that she's campaigning for vice president. But who knows? Maybe she just wanted to give him the finger and now have a reason not to have to do it. But I'm not talking about Kristi Noem. I'm just saying she's going to get canceled. Ravi Zacharias has been canceled now. He was, his publisher was HarperCollins. They don't have any of his books on their website. If you want to buy a Ravi Zacharias book, you got to go to Abe Books, which sells used books. You got to go to eBay and there's probably they may have them on Amazon, but they're probably all going to be used. But the point is, he's been canceled, and what this guy was saying was that. Thinks that's wrong. Now, let's talk about the gospel part of it. There are numerous admonitions in Scripture, one of which I think of, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. What does that mean? Well, what I found it to mean is that I decide mentally that I want to follow the gospel. I want to follow Christ. I want to get to know Jesus Christ. I want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. I want to stop doing everything myself and turn it over to Him. So the salvation part is the mental, spiritual, emotional agreement to start being a Christian. Now, because of the fact that everything about being a Christian runs entirely counter to normal default human nature, how am I going to become that person? Some churches basically say, don't worry about it. You accepted Christ. You're good. You're golden. Just go do everything the way you've been doing it, and you're going to be fine. Lots of people peddle that kind of gospel. The problem with that is your behavior, if it's not changed, it's going to run counter to the gospel message that you say you proclaim. And everything about your effect in the world will ultimately be nullified by your own actions. So working out your salvation with fear and trembling means, as I see it and have experienced it, that you have to daily put your will and your desire on the altar. Basically say, this is something I submit to you, God. I want to do your will, not my own. I'm going to let go of trying to control everything and basically turn it over to you. It's just what I was talking about earlier. If you trust God, learning how to trust God, well, that's painful. Because my will and the things that I do don't naturally coincide with God's will. I see things my way. So if I am going to talk about the gospel, proclaim the gospel, say I'm a Christian, I better be at the same time having my inner guts changed. Because that is my inward motivations. Otherwise, I better be careful, because I'm going to be saying things that's going to harm people. And what this guy said concerning Ravi Zacharias was that it is obvious that there were many sides of his life that he had never turned over. And indeed, it appears that one side of his life was rebelling against what he was trying to do in the other side of his life. Now, we're living in a day and time where there's a lot of pressure coming against Christian ministries, things that say that they're Christian. And this is actually a good thing, because the things that are not really real are being exposed. The people that are not really real are being exposed. Look at all this stuff that's gone on in the Catholic Church for years. And now you have a Pope who's openly promoting a lot of those sins that they were trying to cover up. This Pope is completely non-Orthodox. He's not even, I don't know that if you can even call him a Christian, because he is not advocating that people repent for their sins. He's talking more about, hey, this is a legitimate lifestyle. You can live that way. Now, what's that going to do? Well, the people in the Catholic Church that have never been paying attention to begin with, they just go to church because they think, you know, at the end of their lives, they'll get brownie points for showing up at church. They're probably not going to be affected by it because it's likely they don't even know what their church is saying, and they don't want to know. They want to show up for Mass, go home. People that are take Catholic doctrine and the teachings seriously, they're going to have to examine, is this even a church I can still stay in? And if so, I got to find a parish and a priest that I can trust. But a lot of the real conservative ones have been censured. But the point is, we are in a day and time when everything is being shaken. If it doesn't have a strong, if it doesn't have a strong foundation in this day and time, that foundation is going to be shaken very quickly. So Ravi Zacharias, maybe 50 years ago, 75 years ago, they would have buried it. Women didn't speak out as much. Would have gone away. Today it's different. And so this came out. And you can be tempted to say, okay, I will never trust another Bible teacher again. These guys are all full of it. Or you can do the hard work, which requires patience, of looking past what everyone is saying about this person. The haters are all piling on. They're canceling this person. They're saying he's a fraud, this and that. A lot of that's true, but you have to look at what can I get out of what he did or didn't do and balance and look at the good stuff without throwing everything out with the bathwater. That's what the world today does. They throw everything out with the bathwater. And why is that? Because nobody likes to spend too much time looking too deeply at anything. Number one, it's painful. Number two, it might threaten some long-held notion that I have about things that helps my world line up with the way I think it ought to go. So I've got these ideas. There you have it. I don't want to be changed. I would simply say, you could still and should still read the teachings of Ravi Zacharias if you have access to them. He's a great writer. He had some major flaws in his life. Christians are not called to be perfect. They are called to be willing to be led by God on a daily basis, turn their lives and their wills over to God, be willing to have the light shine into your life. And that includes me. That includes anybody. If you're out there talking this stuff in front of people, you're going to have a higher responsibility of who you might have led or misled than somebody that doesn't do this on a regular basis. So it's just an observation. Maybe it was helpful to you. I don't know his heart. I don't know what his heart was. That's it.
Well, that was pretty good timing to wrap up this hour. You've been listening to the Tom Dupree Show, brought to you by Dupree Financial Group, where we make your money work for you. If you'd like to hear more of the Tom Dupree Show, go to our website, dupreefinancial.com, and click on the radio tab. We upload the radio show in podcast form, and it lives on the website. So there's lots of content. If you've missed episodes, you can always catch up there. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Financial Hour. Stay tuned.